You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Swedish folk artist Rena Johannesson and his band Vargen have a special affection for the music of Bob Dylan, so much so that they petitioned the artist for permission to re-record some of his music in Swedish. Much to their surprise, he said yes. Rena is my guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles as we talk about his life as a folk musician in Sweden and the journey to getting to record this new album. So I'm speaking to Rena today from Sweden, and he's got a new album out, some reinterpretations of some Bob Dylan classics. So we're going to learn more about that and his music and music in Sweden and all that kind of good stuff. So, Rena, I appreciate you joining us. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
So, we were talking off air a few minutes ago. We're actually, it's always fun when we get to do this. We're 6 hours apart. So, at the time of the call, it's 11 a.m. here in the United States. It's 5 p.m. for you there in Sweden. And you were telling me you just came in from a gig. So you're entering part two of your work day, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long have you been, tell me a little bit about your music career. How long has this been, something that you've been pursuing?
Well, I started out as started playing guitar when I was about 11, I guess, and had a few bands till I was 25. It was between, you know, hard rock and blues bands and grunge and everything. And then I quit the music for a while and did some acting and music for theater stuff. And then a couple of years ago, I picked up the guitar again and dove into this great Swedish songbook for my work, you know, playing in all different places for mostly elderly people. For my occupation, and then I formed Vargen and then the Wolf, my artist and band name, to do my own stuff.
Okay.
Besides of that.
Yeah.
So I picked up the the plugged in music again a couple of years ago.
Sure. Okay. So is this now full time for you, or did I hear you say that you have another occupation as well?
Yeah, I have another occupation for, you know, I work 100% for something that you don't have in the U.S. It's called study unions, or what you can call it. It's we're creating a meaningful, you know, spare time for people, whether they like to learn languages or play music or anything like that. Then the government, we would give us a study unions money, and we give the good stuff for people on the spare time. So it's a great occupation, and I can take my working schedule, in fact, when I want. So it's good to mix with Vargen.
Yeah. So that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
If I'm interpreting it correctly, You are employed as someone who helps people with their recreation time. Is that fair to say? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So if you, for instance, want to start an Americana band with your friends, we can offer maybe rooms or studios for that and help you out with it.
Oh, great. Okay.
So it's a great win-win situation, really, for everybody.
Yeah, that sounds like a great job. How would one be able to work that kind of employment there?
Oh, in my case, I knew someone who was working there, and she thought that I would be great for this job because they were starting a big house filled with the, you know, rehearsing studios and stuff for young bands, and they didn't have someone like me who were, you know, knowing the business and how to speak music stuff with music people.
Sure.
So yeah. I got it that way.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. What a great job and a great service, and to actually get paid twice for your music, right? That's neat.
No, only once, but
yeah. Yeah.
But it's great, and you can mix it. It works splendid, really, and it says, you know, it's everybody happy occupation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That,
you deal with, you make people happy, so it's, it's a lot of positive energy.
Yeah, maybe we need some of those types of jobs here in our country. There's a lot of stressed out people, so we probably could use
that.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, finish your thought.
No, it's a great thing, but it's really a government thing. It started with youth organizations in the 50s, 60s. We had it quite well in the industry and stuff, and the Sweden got wealthy because maybe we were out of the war.
Yeah. Okay.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the government supported this kind of stuff, really. Engaging in stuff, so it's great.
So you've kind of been in and out of music then throughout your whole life. Typical style approach to music, what would you call that? If someone hires you to come out and do your thing, more Americana? Is it Swedish pop? What's the flavor that you play?
Yeah, my flavor is what you hear on the record. Really, it's kind of an Americana country rock.
Yeah, cool.
The type of music. As I said, when I was younger, I liked to put on the distortion pedal more, get more feedback and stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, I kind of calmed down with the years. And discovered, and I went back for the music, really, that I, when I first, as a kid or a child, I listened to a lot of, you know, Creedence and early type Straits.
Yeah, yeah.
Beatles and Stones, and that kind of stuff, and that all came back to me, and the way I write songs, it's in that area of songwriting, really. And of course, Dylan, his song suits me perfectly, really.
So how did you decide that Bob Dylan's music was someone that you wanted to retreat in your own style?
As a matter of fact, it was to develop my own lyric writing. I sat down with a master's work and tried to, what is it that he do that makes it so brilliant?
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to, and that way I started to translate as a form of, you know, just training
right.
my own lyric writing.
Right.
But then it went really easy with the translations, and I figured out it was so obvious that it could be sung in Swedish and still sound good, and the lyrics were very close to the original, but it still works well.
How did you decide which songs that you wanted to record?
Good question. A lot of people who interpret Dylan in Sweden, and maybe translated as well, they tried to do it all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's written on almost every subject there is to write about.
Mm-hmm.
That's brilliantly. But for me, for the record, I had to take out a couple of numbers because they didn't feel, they didn't fit in that context of the album. So I had done, for instance, All Along the Watchtower, but I didn't really see the meaning of it in the album, or Highway 61 Revisited, in a more humorous song. So we decided on, love songs or loss or longing, them universal subjects for everyone. So we cooked it down to these 8 translations, and then we had a cover of another Swedish translation. Fitting.
Did you include any originals on this record?
No, only Bob Dylan translations.
Right. Okay. And how long? How long has the record been out?
It's been out since April 26th.
Okay.
A couple of weeks.
Have you been or had you been playing some of these songs in your live performances prior to the release of the record?
Yeah, a lot. That's why it came so easy when we recorded them. Yeah, it was really a part of our set list. We played them some of the songs I've been playing since 14 or 15.
Okay.
And with the band since 17.
So these songs were part of your repertoire. Probably your fans knew them then as songs that you played frequently.
Yeah, and that's why we really choose to make it worthwhile to fill in all these application forms to Dylan's publishers, because it was a great demand from the crowds and the audience.
Yeah,
there came a lot of people when we did the translations, and they asked us for a record.
So yeah, yeah.
I thought, oh, all right, I filled them applications in. We heard that it was almost impossible, that the Dylan folks rarely answered, and if they answered, it was always no.
Yeah.
To it. But it was But we had some live demos. And back translations, which I filled in and sent in, and it was only a couple of months.
Really?
It took not only 2 months, and then we got almost every song approved. Like a Rolling Stone was the red light were on that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, the green light were on the rest of them.
Yeah. Huh. That's neat. Do you when you?
We did a free interpretation of like Rolling Stones, not at all based on the original lyrics. So I guess it was obvious. It was that's why we didn't get it.
Okay, but you still get to perform that live if you choose to.
No, you can't.
Really? Okay.
Okay. Once you fill in the applications form, then it's it's easier to ask for forgiveness right. than allowance.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you revealed your secret, right? It's too late.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you perform them, do you always do them in your native language, or do you perform them sometimes in the original English lyric?
No, always our native language.
Yeah.
On some occasion, there'll be some peace festivals and so on in Sweden, and we did maybe a Blowing in the Wind. In original lyrics.
Yeah.
But no, we always did our own and a couple of other people's translations as well. So it's our thing, really, which stands out and gets us a crowd.
Yeah.
Think. Yeah.
So obviously there was, if I understand correctly, there was 8 songs that you got approved. When you play those out as that collection, what types of other music do you add with that to fill out a set list?
It's kind of similar. I write similar music.
Okay.
In fact, like Bob Dylan songs, or if you take a Dylan song from the 60s or 70s, and Creedence or any of that Americana stuff, it's in that vein of of song crafting. So it's like that. It's a bit country, a bit country rock. I don't know if you're familiar with early Dire Straits with Sultans of Swing and them.
Oh,
songs.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So it's like that. We got this great guitar player with us who also plays the dobro and lap steel. So he adds a flavor to the sounds that's really important and make it sounds in that way.
Yeah, yeah. Is that style of music, you know, if you were to play Swedish folk music, if that's a category, does it sort of sound like this, or is that a different feel altogether?
Yeah, it's a different feel. It's more the folk style is, you know, based on sometimes more like native instruments. I almost don't know the word for it, but violins and,
sure.
You know, we got accordions and stuff. That's original, old Swedish folk
music. Right, okay.
But it's more singer-songwriting that's going on now in Sweden for maybe 20 or 30 years.
Okay.
That's very close to Americana. It hit off here as well in the late 60s. So,
what kind of audience do you find resonates with the music?
Mostly older people, really. The ones that experienced Dylan's breakthrough. So we don't get many people under 35 or 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Dylan fans, you know. So from 35, 40 years.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it's a great audience because they're listening a lot. But then, of course, when we play pubs, there would be a bit younger audience, and
right.
They like it as well.
Right.
It's quite easy. It's not easy listening, but it's easy to listen to it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a favorite venue that you like that you like to play and perform this kind of music in?
But they're different. We get different favorites. We got a great place here in Sweden on the west coast called The Station. It's a bit on the countryside where we did our release gig, and they're doing a Dylan festival now on his birthday.
Uh-huh.
To the 24th and 25th of May, we will return there, and it will be a lot of bands. So it's a great venue. It's a small place. It's a restaurant. It only takes maybe 90 to 100 people.
Oh, wow.
So
all right.
It's very, very close, and it's the walls are filled with different Dylan posters. And
oh, cool.
Very
okay.
cozy.
It's
really cool. But then we like to play theaters as well. So,
do you get to travel outside of the country with your music? Is it mostly Swedish exclusive to your country?
No, we've only been to Sweden this far, around Gothenburg on the west coast where we're based, and we did some gigs in Stockholm and in a state called Dalarna as well.
Yeah.
So the next thing, I think we will maybe do it in the rest of Sweden, and perhaps in Norway and Denmark is very close as well. And in Finland, they've been playing us sometimes. So I think we stick to that at first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully
we
can
come over to you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Hopefully we can help open the door with this story and let people hear your music. It was fascinating. I loved listening to the tracks, and it's always neat when something in this country that people in some ways musically was very pivotal for a lot of people to hear it done a different way, but done very well, and give it a new interpretation. So it would be awesome to see you guys get a chance to tour in the States.
Yeah, thank you. It means a lot of that. Then, of course, we will play some of the songs
that
you will understand them. We know them. Like I said, our guitar player, he's got his in his mother's milk, Dylan.
So he
can play it. His sleep. And are you located in Bridgewater? I read about you that you have a festival now.
We actually do. Yeah, it's called the Red Wing Roots Festival in July, and it's very much Americana and roots and roots rock and, you know, a little bit of bluegrass and mostly kind of the fringe stuff, but a very eclectic, interesting collection of artists and performers. A really nice 3-day festival in July.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds great.
So, yeah, that'll be
a lot of them. That kind of festivals in Sweden as well.
Yeah.
It's fun, but American is really huge here.
Yeah, that's cool. It's found a life of its own. It was kind of an alternative music style, but for a certain large portion of people now, it's the main music. It's the closest to the authentic. It gives the artist a chance to be real, and it gives the listener a chance to connect with the artist. And so Americana has really begun to become a very popular format of music here.
Yeah.
So if people want to find your CD, listen to your music, get a chance to know you guys better, how's the best way to do that and reach out?
It's either on Spotify if you want to listen to it, and if you want to know more about us, I think the easiest thing for you is to get in on Bandcamp. It's varian.bandcamp.com if you want to listen and buy the CDs, because I think our distributor, I think it's the cheapest way to get the CD anyway, to get it shipped.
And do you have
put it out on vinyl.
Okay. Oh, cool. Cool. That's right. I think I saw that in the press release. Do you also have a website?
Yeah. We have varian.net, but I've written it in Swedish. I haven't written a lot on it, so maybe I should take it in English instead. And we got this Facebook site for our Swedish fans.
Oh, good. Okay.
Visiting us there. So, yeah, maybe I do varian.net in English this week or something.
Yeah, good. All right. Well, thanks, Raina. It was good talking to you, and certainly wish you the best, and we'd love to get a chance to see you guys tour United States. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it would. Thanks a lot, Greg.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.